I love coming to the Edinburgh Festival because I get to do my one show and go see other shows, or be a tourist, or climb Arthur's Seat. I'm kidding. I don't climb Arthur's Seat.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 518, Actor Joe Bending. Not every actor performed in one show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this summer. Some actors performed in two or more. Joanna Bending was one of those actors, performing in the world premiere production of Rob Crouch's Trolling and the timely political satire Boris Johnson, World King. I asked Jo why she didn't just come out to Edinburgh and enjoy herself instead of playing multiple roles in two exhausting and wildly different plays.
I like being busy, very busy. Possibly I did bite off more than I could chew this time because it's tiring doing two shows. But then I'm always annoyed by actors who talk about how tough the life is. Because it really isn't like being down the mine, as we all know. And it's fun.
Yeah. It is a fun gig. And this is, you're here to do practice your craft.
Absolutely. And for me, those two shows are really different. So Trolling is quite creepy and heavy and dark. And the Boris play is slapstick comedy, so it's great for a performer to go from something quite heavy and then 2 hours later to be jumping around doing something silly.
Weirdly and interestingly, we almost met a couple of years ago when you were performing with the Actors from a London Stage at University of Notre Dame, and my wife Dee and I happened to see you in the Scottish play at Valparaiso University. And you were in the five-actor production of the Scottish play, playing multiple roles, and amazing in all of them. And I just thought, who is this person who's playing so convincingly women, men, young, old, upper class, lower class? And now in this play, Trolling, which is the only one I was able to see because I can't see Boris World King because it's happening at the same time as my play, in Trolling you're also playing multiple parts. You're just this character actress extraordinaire. Do you always... Will you only do a play if it has multiple parts?
This is something quite recently, actually, and I've never been someone in the past who's particularly good at accents or playing multiple roles. And I think, could it be something to do with getting a bit older and more confident? Really loving being silly, and through being silly and being free... Yeah. That character work can be more accessible, maybe.
Well, and as you say, it's fun to do more than one thing, you know, and so if you could do it in a couple plays, that's great, but if you can do it in one play where you're playing all these different, that's fantastic.
Yeah. The actors from the London Stage is such a brilliant sort of training in that respect, in the sense that you've only got five people and no director, and you all play, you know, probably 5 to 10 parts, apart from maybe the guy playing Macbeth. And the lady playing Lady Macbeth only had a couple of parts. But the rest of us really had to sit there in a room bashing our heads together about how we make the characters defined and, you know, through physicality, through voice, through, you know, maybe one meagre accessory.
Like a hat or something. It wasn't, you weren't loaded with costumes and props.
No. Yeah. So we were travelling all across America with that. So very little, one prop case we were allowed, one suitcase.
Interesting. How does that work, a bunch of actors in a room making decisions? That could be fraught.
It wasn't fraught, because I think we were all a bit too kind to each other. And actually, you realise, I think you really need a director. Well, you know, or someone who can come in with a decisive view that's looking in creatively over everyone. Because, of course, we all sat around being terribly supportive of each other and, you know, oh, maybe we could try it this way or that way. And, I missed a director.
Sometimes we need to be told, oh, God, no, stop that. Oh, geez, please.
Don't let us overindulge.
Now, the plays that you're doing here at The Fringe, Trolling and Boris World King, those have directors.
They do. Okay. Yes. So the very talented Hannah Idenow, who has a bit of a reputation directing new plays on The Fringe. She has been the recipient of many Fringe firsts over the years. And Yaz Al-Shatter directed Boris World King. Again, a very vibrant young director, full of energy, full of hope and very sort of, what's the word, disciplined rehearsal room, which I really enjoyed.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, and again, one of the great things about coming to the Fringe is that you see plays that you probably might not see anywhere else. Boris World King will probably run in London. Maybe, I guess it has run
it
in London.
It has. So I'm not sure that we'll probably do it again, but of course it had to be rewritten almost every week before we came up to Edinburgh with the whole Brexit referendum and him becoming foreign secretary. Was he going to run for prime minister? Right. And Michael Gove stabbing him in the back. So Tom Crawshaw, who wrote that, literally had a job on his hands of coming up with fun.
Well, and as did David, who plays David Benson, who plays Boris, had to learn all the new stuff.
Yes.
And who do you play in Boris World King?
So I play his long-suffering advisor, stroke researcher Helen, who thinks he is a bit of an idiot, but she's very, very good at her job, and she wouldn't, you know.
And she's a devoted conservative.
A very devoted conservative. Yeah. Really throwing everything into her work and supporting him, even though he keeps seemingly cocking everything up. and he wants to do this show of his life at the Edinburgh Fringe, and so Helen, who is also the director of the show, takes on all the other roles. So she becomes his headmaster at Eton and is, his girlfriend at Oxford, who then becomes his wife, and, his PA and, the managing director of The Spectator.
Fantastic. Oh, and once again, you get to play a bunch of roles.
I do.
Fantastic.
I do. And, it's interesting. James Seabright, who produced the show, I don't think particularly knew me as someone who had worked like that before, so that was...
Well, it strikes me in the shrinking economics of live theatre, actors who could play multiple roles are character actors who are going to be increasingly valuable.
Yeah.
These are skills... I guess they should be teaching you this in drama school. Where did you go to drama school?
I went to RADA, actually, so I did have an amazing three-year training in London. I was incredibly fortunate to get a place there, and it was an amazing 3 years. I went straight from school, so I was the youngest in my year. I went when I was 17 or 18, and just thought it was the most exciting place in the whole world.
And you get to say, I went to RADA.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
So, well, I guess this explains a lot. This explains why you're so amazing. All right, now it all becomes clear.
Hello, I'm Adrian Scarborough, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Next week, Dan Sasky, Reed Martin, and I head off to China to perform the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, in Beijing, Shanghai, Nanjing, and Xiamen. And while we're there, starting the week after Thanksgiving, Michael Faulkner, Mick Orff, and Dustin Sullivan will perform The Ultimate Christmas Show, abridged, in North Carolina, Massachusetts, Colorado, and Maryland. Then in the first half of 2017, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, abridged, in both the U.S. and the U.K. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with actor Joe Bending. Trolling is very intense, dramatic, straightforward. I mean, there's some laughs in it, but they're not obvious ones. They're not jokes. It's dark comedy at best. Boris World King is very funny, very far. And then I saw you do, of course, Shakespeare. Is that the kind of... Do you get the training for all those things at RADA, or is this something you've had to pick up over the years, skills in these various areas?
I think absolutely you get everything. I think it's interestingly, certainly when I was there, having friends at the other sort of other top drama schools in London, we did find almost week to week that we were doing the same sort of thing. So it's very Stanislavski based, our course. And I know certainly with friends at Guildhall and Lambda, they had the same Stanislavski training. But yeah, of course, we spent time doing Shakespeare, time doing comedy. I don't think comedy can necessarily be learned. You might disagree, Austin, because you're a funnier guy than I am, really. I mean, you've built a career around around being hilarious on stage. So you would, you know, did you always have a funny bone?
I think I always did have a funny bone, and I do think you can. There are things you can learn, but I think it like we were just talking about this. I was just talking about this today. Like charm. You've either got it or you ain't got it. You can't act charm. Yeah. I don't think you can act funny. You know, you can maybe practice timing, but it feels mechanical. Yeah. But I think you're right. You've either got it or you ain't.
I think a bit with comedy. I mean, I don't think I was ever very funny. Ever, really. And maybe the older I've got... I have really appreciated humour much, much more the older I've got.
But you know, that's funny. Now you say that, as I think about it, the kind of comedy I like is real actors playing it straight.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, if you can play it straight, and then sometimes that's a fault that when other people do our shows, they play it jokey or sitcom-y, and it falls to pieces.
Yeah.
But I think good actors playing it straight can sometimes really make a comedy work.
I think absolutely play it straight. That's the only way. And isn't always the deadpan, you know... Just thinking about Morecambe and Wise and, you know, Eric Morecambe, you know, classic, just this deadpan look, this absolutely fully committing seriously. I mean...
Those sketches are amazingly acted. I mean, I've picked up so many acting tips from the Monty Python guys.
Yeah.
Graham Chapman particularly. Yeah. None of the other guys could have played Brian or Arthur. You know, I mean, he was just sincere. He was the straight guy. Ironically, the only gay guy, but he was the straight guy in Monty Python. But yeah, those sketch comics, that's interesting too. You know, sketch comedians can do maybe drama more effectively than drama. Tragedians can go the other way. Does that seem like a truism or not?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I can't answer that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anyone playing it straight and playing it seriously and then the humour coming through, the situation is always going to win my vote.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, than, you know, someone playing up the, you know, the thing.
So you're doing two shows here. I saw you in America on a tour of Shakespeare. What happens after the Fringe? Do you go back to London and just hit the audition circuit? I mean, one of the things I'm envious of is all the work that's available in London in all the different media. Do you know what I mean? Stage, television, film, adverts, radio, which radio is absolutely not a market we have in America.
Oh, Ray, I love doing radio and talking books. I did a sort of talking episode of a thing before coming here. What a great fun medium to work in. And sure, I mean, London, really, there's so much going on. I mean, every actor complains they don't get the work, get enough work, and I always have a day job that I can go back to, and I've been so lucky that to have found employment throughout my career where, you know, I will be working for 6 months and then come back desperate, how am I going to pay the rent, and always found something, which, you know, again, is very fortunate, and again, being in London helps that, because you can...
There are jobs to be had.
There are. That you can drop at the, you know, not at the drop of a hat, but, you know.
but I would imagine, maybe this is true, in London, as in maybe New York, they understand when one of their employees goes, I got to go do the Fringe. Oh, right, yeah, we lose you every August. Okay, fine. Had you done the Fringe before?
I've done it twice before, maybe three times, yeah.
Okay.
And the first time actually was a completely different... and the most terrifying acting experience I've ever had. I was doing a one-woman show playing a 90-year-old woman with Alzheimer's, and it was written by an amazing performance poet and playwright called Dave Flores. And the audience sort of think she's, you know, a 30-year-old woman, because that's what she's convinced she is at the beginning of the play. And she's lost, of course, the cerebral cortex, so she's really quite rude and silly and funny. So it was a gift for an actor, really.
And you were a young actor with this.
Yeah. So you get to play someone being, you know, really silly, rude, and she's telling you about this date she's going on. And then the audience realise at the same time as her, two-thirds of the way through the play, that she is 90, and that the only time she's lucid is when her husband of 60 years takes her out of this home and takes her to the pub where they had their first date and buys her a gin and tonic like he did when they met. And then she remembers for about 2 minutes who she is, who he is. Mm. So, of course, it's a lovely moment before she then goes back into her dream world.
Yeah.
But it was I'd never done anything like that before, and to sort of be on your own doing that on stage, oh my goodness, it was terrifying.
I would not want to work without the net of other actors.
But
the audience becomes your other actor in a one-person show, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, they do, they have to. It doesn't detract from the fact that you're, you know, out there on your own and...
Right, that can't save you when you go dry.
No.
Yeah.
Just staring desperately into people's faces. But, no, yeah, it's not my preferred medium either. I wouldn't be a jump at doing it again, but that play was an extraordinary play, and I felt very fortunate to be tested in that way and be given the opportunity to do it.
Well, and as I say, saw you in the Scottish play, you're clearly an ensemble player, and you're playing a 90-year-old woman as a young actor, so have you always been a character actor, never the ingenue?
Never the ingenue. Really? I don't think I really ever was. Even though I was the youngest girl in my year, I think I've always been a bit of a character actress, really, probably. My dad always made this joke, certainly in the first few years after drama school, and even now he goes, "Joe, come on, hurry up." He goes, "You know, you're definitely going to make it. You're going to be Maggie Smith. But can you just try and do it while I'm alive, please?"
I like your dad. I like your dad. Well, and the great thing about character actors, because I feel like I'm one as well, we only get more castable the older we get.
Austin, very true. And more sexy and more funny.
Oh, stop.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your favorite character roles via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. You can also follow me on Twitter @AustinTichner. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Ribby, fading ingenue Matthew Croke, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Emma Harris. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to another glorious English actor, Adrian Scarborough. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 518th, 1554ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
So that'll be good. As we age into our wizened personas, we'll meet at the old actor's home and talk about, and we have Alzheimer's and play characters that are in their 20s.
Yes. Perfect. Brilliant.
Sounds like a plan.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.